I also would like to welcome each one of you here this morning. It is a blessing to be here and to look at God's Word. Thank you for being willing to pray for Alex as he goes. Alex came to us in 2009. I remember telling Alex, after he could understand a little more about life, about walking with Christ, that maybe someday God's going to take you back to your country and use you for His kingdom. Alex has been over to Thailand a couple of different times, a bunch of different countries. And now that I see him going again, it's hard to know what he's going to be doing. But I know God's grace is perfect. It's always there for us. And that's what I'm banking on. God is so good. I've titled my message this morning, Success in 2026. And I know Paul shared some about the new year last Sunday. And I guess I want to share with you this morning just some encouragement to follow the path that God is calling you to in 2026. Our paths are not the same. We have different paths that we are on. But the God that we serve is the same God. So for that reason, we can encourage each other to be faithful and to walk as He has called us to. Our text is going to be Psalm 90, but I'm going to read some other things before we get there. You're welcome to turn there. 2025 is gone, and we all can look back and we can be excited about some of the victories that we won through Christ. We look back at some of the failures that we've had, and it saddens us. The world has been through a ton of division, hasn't it? And it's still continuing to go through division. Our churches have been through division. And we're still seeing many, many churches working through difficulties. Maybe you can look at the past year and you can say, I think I've grown closer to God. Maybe you're looking at 2025 and you're wondering, what have I missed? Because my life isn't quite where it was when I started 2025. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about to everything there's a season and a time and a purpose under heaven. I just heard that scripture at a funeral here a couple weeks ago. This is not a funeral message, but it's a message of encouragement. There is a time, there is a season for everything. I look at my own personal walk right now. The season that I'm in is to seek the Father and to walk with Him. I think it's the same for each one of you. We're going to be looking for a bit here at Moses. It's interesting, this psalm that we're looking at. Normally we look at a psalm and we think David wrote it. This psalm was written by Moses. And it's what we believe when they were close to the end of their journey through the wilderness. And we look at Moses. Moses went through so much in his life. Being saved from death as a baby. Being put in a basket and being found. Having been raised in Pharaoh's house. He had everything that he needed to live successfully in the world standards. Moses ended up becoming a murderer, killing somebody. And so he left. He lived in the wilderness. And sometimes, if you are like me, it seems like God has abandoned us. We're on our own. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like nobody really, really cares? The problems, the struggles that I'm facing are mine alone and nobody else's. I can understand that maybe that's what Moses thought. We don't see that in Scripture. I'm just allowing my mind to think a little bit. If I were like Moses out in the desert, wondering what is life but sheep, I would have probably felt alone. Satan has an idea that he'd like to get all of us to feel isolated. But when it comes to the body of Christ, we're not isolated. We're a body. We're together. We work together. We serve the same God. So I want us to know this morning that we are not alone. Judd, I'm going to see if I can get this thing to the next one. Hopefully it'll start working for us here. We're not moving. Okay, thank you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not." Now I want you to look at the words that I've got underlined here. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Who's the I am? That's God. That's for us today. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I don't know what that verse does for you, but that brings me a ton of comfort to know that I'm not living life on my own, even though sometimes it feels like it. Sheldon, could you look up John 14, verse 23? You've got a good, strong voice. In a minute here, I'm going to ask you to read that. John 14, verse 23. "I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Today we have within us a personal presence through the Holy Spirit. Each one of us that is born again this morning has the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said in John 14:23, Sheldon, if you would read that. Who comes? It says we. That's the Godhead. And he gave us the Holy Spirit when he left, so we have the Holy Spirit within us to guide us and direct us. So now we're beginning a new year. I don't know what's ahead of me. When I leave here and it's dark, I might have shared this here before, but when I leave here and it's dark, I turn my headlights on my car. Do your headlights go all the way to your house when you leave here? Carl, can you see your house when you pull out the driveway with your headlights? No. It's that way in our journey with Christ. We don't know what's ahead of us this year. But God is giving us what we need for right now. You have headlights that will show you maybe a couple hundred feet down the road. Enough that you can see where you're going. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If I read that correctly, it says, "Thy word." What is the word? It is the holy word of God. There's only one way that I'm going to know where to go, how to go. That's by getting in here, becoming familiar with the word of God. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. It guides me. It directs me. I might have my own ideas, but his word is what gives me direction and life. Sometimes through his Holy Spirit, having somebody else share with me. That can also happen. But his word is our lamp. It's our light. It guides us. We can trust in the one who is there leading us. Psalm 37. Verse 23 and 24 say, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." That brings me comfort. When we walk with Christ, the steps that we're taking are not mine. They're God's. Directed by God's. And he, God, delighteth in his way. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." What a comfort to us to know that God cares so much for us. He's holding us. He's taking care of us. He's giving us direction in life. So we know that we have got complete confidence in surrendering our walk into the hands of an almighty loving God. You commit your hands into me, your life into me, I'm not going to do so well with it. But when you surrender it to God, He will give you direction. A verse that I've come to many, many times I don't have here this morning is that He's never going to leave us. He will never forsake us. We need to continue following and walking after Him. Let's go to Psalm 90. I'm going to try to move through this a bit quickly. Let's read the first two verses there. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. Thinking again about this is Moses talking. He's talking to those who will enter into the promised land. Not all of them did. But he's talking to those, and I don't know how it was. I picture them listening in. I picture them around Moses. I don't know how it was, but maybe it was a song that they sang. We don't know. But we know this is the prayer that Moses penned. And it was specifically to those who were entering in. He begins with, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Moses begins with the word Lord. If you notice, it's capital. That word Lord means Adonai. It means sovereign. It means almighty. It means the God who is all-powerful. He's master. He's ruler. Moses was coming in worship, expounding to them who this God is that he's talking about. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. They needed sustenance as they went through the wilderness. God took care of them. We saw the manna. We saw the different ways that God continued to bless them. He even goes back and he says, before the mountains were made, all the creation, He was God then. And He is God today. We serve the same God that created what we see. I get a little goosebumpy when I think about that one. God created each one of us here this morning. That's the God we serve. That's the God Moses was serving. So there's worship here. The dwelling place. I would probably have given up. Moses didn't give up. Were there times he wanted to? I think so. Moses faced some pretty difficult times. And by the way, this psalm is probably the oldest psalm that we have. Because Moses penned it would have been before the rest of it was penned. Moses acknowledged God. Before creation, while he was there, we acknowledge him today as our God in 2026. We could all have something that we could share this morning about what happened in the year 2025. We're not going to take time for that this morning. That would be fun, just to hear what God's done in your lives. Verse 3 through 6, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Here Moses is trying to give a picture, I believe, of the timelessness of God and of our existence. It comes and it goes quickly. Just heard again yesterday of a friend's sister that passed, having fought with cancer for quite a while. Our lives are short. Even if we live to be 70, 80 years old, it's short. It talks about a watch in the night. That's 3 hours. And if you think about what time is to God, I can't really explain that. Because I don't understand what eternity looks like without time. Someday, hopefully we can. Moses had seen lots and lots of death. Verse 3 there, he says, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. This destruction that he's talking about here is dust. Man is going back to dust. If God continues to tarry, and we make it through 2026 with no death, we will not be going back to dust yet. But if we die in 2026, we go back to dust. It's the process. It's a cycle of life. But God has given us this time that we're in right now to honor and to worship Him. We all have an appointed time. Moses here understood the brevity of life. He had seen death. Who knows how many people died when Moses went up to the mountain and he was getting the Ten Commandments and all the other laws. When he came off the mountain, Aaron had built a golden calf and they were worshiping. God was angry. Who knows how many people died at that time? Three thousand. Moses had seen lots of death. I can't imagine what it was like traveling. And every so often, there were times like this where God's anger, he talks about his anger here in verse 7 through 10. Let's read that. He says, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, that is their strength, labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away." Talking here about death. The word consumed here has the idea of withering. When we think about the grass that grows, it's beautiful in the morning. There's moisture. And as it grows, it continues to become older and to wither. That's the life. But I am so thankful. I'm so thankful that we are in the age of grace where God looks down on us. And He continues to bless us. Does not mean that His judgment is not sure, because it is. But today we have opportunity. And I'm so thankful today for the Holy Spirit within us to guide us and His Word to help us on our journey of life. I want to focus in on verse 12. That's our verse for this morning. So we've talked about death. We've talked about God's anger. It's a holy, righteous anger against sin. What about numbering my days in verse 12? "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Numbering our days. I looked at this verse and I chewed on this verse for a long time. I don't know what you think about the idea of numbering our days. I believe what he's trying to tell us here, Moses was telling them, is to create intention, meaningful existence. That's where I want to take it this morning. Teach us to number our days. Pursuing mindfulness of our days on this earth. In other words, we're not living haphazardly. We're not going through life like as if it doesn't matter. I have a friend that is not a believer. He shows up at work a lot. His idea of life is live it up. I'm retired. I'm going to live it up. I have today. I'm not sure that I'm promised tomorrow, so today I'm going to live it up. I pray for him. Live with intent, with purpose. We can all look back on 25 and find times there where we wish we would have done differently. But we have 2026 ahead of us. We have opportunity to change that starting now. Starting as we walk out the door here, we have opportunity to change that pattern. Am I thankful for the time I have on earth? I remember as a young boy fearing eternity and wishing that God had not created me. Because I don't know. Friends, this morning we can know. Scripture says we can know that we are walking with Him. We have a home in heaven promised to us. He didn't die for naught. He died for us. And as we accept what He has done for us, He continues to guide us. And we can be assured we have a home in heaven. It's not an if process if we're being faithful with Him. His grace is so, so big. His mercy. Yes, His judgment is sure. Let's not get away from that. But He came to give us life. Moses was asking God to teach him. He said, teach. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Help us to look at life with perspective. I got a few things written down here for myself. I'm going to read four things here that I wrote down for myself. I wanted 2026 to ask God to show me purpose, to give me direction and how to live in a way that brings honor and glory to God. That has to be our first priority, honoring Him, loving Him. That's our first priority. I want to get up in the morning with a plan, not to live haphazardly, but with meaning. Take some work. It's okay. I want to hear the Holy Spirit speak. I want to have ears that listen. I want to have hands and feet that are willing to go and do His will, not my will. I'm pretty set on what I want. May God remove that. I want His will, not my will. I want my will to line up with what He desires. The fourth one is I want to love, because anything I can accomplish in life needs to be done in love. Love for God first, and then love for my fellow men. And I remember thinking years back, man, I have a long life ahead of me. 19 years old, loving life, doing what I desired to do. That wasn't very long ago. Sorry, guys that are 19. Just wasn't long ago. Life has moved on so quickly. And that's not negative. That's positive. He says that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This is why we number our days. To gain a heart of wisdom. To think about the fact that there is life on the other side. This is not it. We're just preparing. Then when we die and we walk with Him, that's when life for eternity begins. It's not a fear tactic, but it's a reality. To gain wisdom and allow this wisdom to help us live with intent. To live life with purpose. This, my friends, is success. This is success. When we grasp the idea that we're to use our time wisely, then we often do make the most of our days. We learn how to live in a way that He desires for us to live. Mahatma Gandhi, if I can say that right, made this statement. He said, be the change you wish to see in the world. It's easy for us to sit back and to point and to wish, I wish they would do this, or I wish they would do this. Can we change this? Be that change. Allow God to transform you, to continue to work in your heart. My future for 2026 depends on my choices today. I'm not going to come to the end of 2026 and look at Ernie and say, Ernie, it's because of you. It's my choices. It's your choices. That's what's going to bring us to a place of following or not following Christ. Our choices. Steve Jobs said this, your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. It's your life. Live it for Christ. We love business. Business is good, but it is not key. But what we are busy with in our spiritual walk is key. I have five things listed here that are keys to success. And again, these are things that I put on paper. You may have your own five things, but I want to share with you what I have here. Five keys to success. The first one is set aside time with God. Worship, repent, and draw near. I just heard somebody speak about spending time with the Lord and what it does in their personal walk with Christ. I remember years ago one of the popular preachers, and I can't remember his name. He said, the days that I feel like I don't have time for Christ, I stop and I spend 3 hours with him. I sometimes do the opposite. I'm guessing you do too. We feel like we don't have time, and so we hurry out. He spent 3 hours with God. Set aside time with God. Worship, extremely important. Repentance is very important. And drawing near to him. The second one I've got listed is connect, fellowship with others. Friends, we're not islands. We are not our own. I need all of you here this morning. The fact is, we need each other to help each other, to grow close to God through helping each other. The third one I got listed is look outside of yourself. Craig, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. You used the word perspective the other day. I believe Walnut Creek Foods, that's their word of the year. And the idea of that word is to look at somebody else's way of thinking, not just my own. That's something I need to grow in. I think we all do. Look at somebody else's way of thinking. Understand it from their perspective instead of just your own perspective. Look outside of yourself. This is how we learn to walk beside each other. Number four, set achievable goals. Sometimes we hear people saying that you need to set goals that are outside of your reach. And that may be true at times. But I like to set goals that I know I'm going to reach. Sometimes they're stretching, but I challenge you, write the goals down. Write them down, then come back and look at them and ask yourself the question, have I reached that goal? And if not, find out what it's going to take to reach that goal. And if you have, write down another goal and continue to work towards reaching that goal. In other words, none of us can stop and coast. We all need to continue our growth in Christ. Set achievable goals. Fifth one I have is talk about Jesus. Invite others to know him. There's no place for us as believers to be silent. Yes, our lives have to reflect who lives within us. That's our actions. That's who we are. But God gave us a mouth to speak. Speak Jesus. Speak life. Share him with others. Think about all those that you meet every day, every week. Can you make a difference in one person's life? The story is told of a person that was walking along the seashore and there were crabs climbing up on the shore. They shouldn't have been there. And he went down and he picked one up and he tossed it back in the ocean. Somebody came along and said, "You're not making a difference." He said, "But that one got back in the ocean." Friends, share Jesus. Make it a priority to look for ways to talk about Jesus. We work really, really hard to lay money aside for retirement. And I'm not speaking against that. There is a place. But what would happen if I worked that hard to share Jesus with those around me as I do as putting money in my bank account? Think about that. The American dream has got us, I'm not sure what word to use. Maybe it's got us a bit mixed up. The American dream isn't all that we think it is. I want to talk about true success. And that is to live every day to glorify God. That is true success. If you come to the end of 2026 and you know you put forth effort to glorify God, to honor him, to share his name with those around you, and if you have put $0 in the bank, you are successful. you are successful. It's not a matter of, I have to work on that person until they give their heart to the Lord. Somebody else might come along and do that. But the idea is, what really matters is when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, share with that person, share. It takes about 7 times, is what they say, to share Jesus with somebody that has never known Him. You may be number 5. You may be number 6. Or you may be number 7. But share Jesus. Help those who have needs. Be building the kingdom of God. And love. Love is the key. That's what He tells us in Scripture. Love is key. This is applying our hearts unto wisdom. I'd like to end with the verse that we started with this morning. As an encouragement to each one of us, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Take that verse personally. Lynn, don't fear. God is with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I just want to bless you this morning. I know our desire is to be faithful to God. I know our desire is for 2026 to be a year of success. Can we take this year starting today? Maybe even starting already. Some of you probably have. But starting today, to make it a priority to seek God first. To allow Him to heal what's within me. So I can share Jesus with those around us. We all have hurts. We're all broken. None of us here are perfect. We have perfection in Christ. But we seek Him. And He will work within us. We're going to have prayer. I'd like for you to stand. And then I've asked Jay to lead us. I think it was page 23. The same song that we sang this morning. Maybe verse 1 and first and last verse. But I'd like for us to think about this song as we sing. Who is this God that we serve? This song talks about that. Let's pray. God, we thank You this morning. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for how You speak to us through Your Holy Spirit, through Your word, through those around us. Lord, as we continue our walk here in 2026, God, we need You. I don't even want the thought of trying to live life without You. You've proved Yourself to be perfect and awesome and holy and gracious and merciful. You're so long-suffering. So, Father, I pray that each one of us here this morning would allow You to bend us and to shape us, to mold us into who You want us to be throughout this year. Thank You for speaking to us. Thank You for giving us hearts that are willing to hear, ears that are willing to hear, hearts that are willing to obey and to walk according to Your desires and Your goodness. We bless You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.